here we go. We are going live on Facebook. Hello, friends. If it's Friday, it is time for Margaritas with Margarita Chang, CFP Pro, where for 15 minutes at happy hour, 5 p.m. Eastern, you get a little dose of financial wisdom. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, Rita's publicist and producer of the show on Incandescent Radio and Incandescent TV. And we know you are going to love learning from today's guest, Deanne Yuen, Assistant Professor of Philanthropy at the American College of Financial Services. She is the holder of the Blunt Nickel Professorship in Philanthropy and a designated instructor for the Chartered Advisor in Philanthropy program. She is also an authority on family philanthropy, global philanthropy, and emerging philanthropic models for corporate and community giving. Well, I can't wait to hear your advice. So take it away, Rita.
Thank you so much, Hope. And I'm so excited to be here today with Deanne. I have enrolled in the CAP program, and we don't use acronyms without explaining what they are. So I've enrolled in the Chartered Advisor in Philanthropy. So not only is Deanne my friend, but she is my professor. So thank you for being here.
It's great to be here, Rita. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. So Deanne, tell us about your role with the American College and more about the CAP program.
Oh, great. Thank you. So I teach in the CAP program, the Chartered Advisor in Philanthropy program, and we've been doing this for about 14 years. We teach for-profit and nonprofit professionals to have that philanthropic conversation with their clients, or whether it's in the nonprofit, it would be their donors. So we have about 2,500 designees all across the U.S. with a few in Asia. And then after they take the CAP, then they are able to use it in their work immediately. The college was founded, which is an insurance college in the beginning, became a financial college. And then we incorporated philanthropy in there because the chair of the program wanted to encourage advisors to also incorporate philanthropy in their conversations with their clients. So about 12 years ago, we started study groups. We wanted to, instead of doing it all online, we wanted to bring the students together so that they can learn from each other and as well as socialize and then learn how to apply what they learned immediately in the program. So in the past 14 years, we've only had 100 advisors of color that have gone through the CAP program. And this year we thought, well, why not double that, right? And so our goal was to get 100 new advisors enrolled in the CAP program, and Rita is one of those. We gave ourselves 12 months, and we exceeded goal. We actually hit our 100th at the end of July, and we have 4 study groups. So bringing another 100 advisors of color to talk about philanthropy, trained in philanthropy, so they could serve the clients and the donors they work with. So I'm super excited to have you as part of this cohort, Rita. So I think we're going to do a lot of fun things, but also help impact, right? Help the clients and the advisors impact the community and do more good.
Thank you for that. So I know you are so accomplished. How did you become interested in philanthropy?
I wouldn't say accomplished, more humbled than anything else. So I went to law school. I was born in Vietnam. Chinese, and then I grew up in Michigan, Ohio. So I went to law school in Ohio, but my goal was to become a criminal attorney. And so I worked in the public defender's office, trying to save the world, right? One at a time. Unfortunately, my grandmother ended up with cancer. And at that time, our family didn't know very much about cancer. I went to the American Cancer Society in Ohio, got some information about it, and then thought, hey, they have a job opening. Like, let's apply, right, and see what happens. I was one of the 2 applicants at the time. It was a director of planned giving position. And during the late 90s, nobody knew what planned giving was. So I suspect that's why nobody applied. I ended up taking the position. And it basically was working with donors at the American Cancer Society through their attorneys, their financial advisors, and then also working with life insurance agents to figure out their ways to support the American Cancer Society. And so that's plan giving. That got me into the whole nonprofit world. And then when I came to the Bay Area, I worked for an Asian American Community Foundation. And so learned a lot about Asian American philanthropy at the time. And then I went back into the wealth management world as well. So, but it was great because all my clients were nonprofits. So I was helping manage endowments and foundations and prior foundations, but they were all nonprofit clients. So it was wonderful. And then over the years, you know, did a bit of consulting, working in family offices, but always with the philanthropic piece in mind. How can we leverage, you know, estate planning, financial planning tools so that our clients can not only support their families, but also their communities as well. So about 2 years ago, I just joined the American College. And so it's brought me full circle. I'm trying to share what I've learned over the years. And of course, do a lot more research in this space. It's been really a wonderful, wonderful journey.
Thank you so much for that. I mean, I'm so honored to be part of this cohort and learn more, especially when you think about, you know, our stories, how we came to America are quite similar. You know, when people first came here, we're not necessarily thinking about philanthropy. We're just trying to survive, but now we're thriving and we can make a difference in our communities. With that in mind, what, in your experience, what misconceptions exist around philanthropy?
I think the idea that you have to have a lot of money in order to give back, right? And it's really interesting, even people with a lot of money don't consider themselves to be philanthropists. They actually don't like those words, or they don't consider themselves to be donors. They're just wanting to give back and support the organizations and the people. So I think the misconception is you have to have a lot of money. You have to be like a Bill Gates of the world, right, in order to affect change. And that's not true. I think the idea is everyday donors, right? That it could be impulsive giving. It could be a reflective or reactive giving. But even that $1, that $5 makes such a huge difference. But I think aside from the monetary gifting, there's five T's, right, that we always talk about. Time, talent, treasure, ties, and testimony. I think time, talent, and treasure, most people know about. But recently, I think the big difference is the testimony, where sometimes you're, what you say and what you do, in this, especially right now with social media, is probably more important and can affect more change than people realize. And then the other is your ties, right? Who you know, your social networks, can you bring them along to do what you do? Scales, right? So even a small little ripple effect becomes a huge wave. And so I think that's a misconception. I think everybody can play a role in one, so long as they want to, they can play a role in giving back and supporting their communities.
I feel your passion, energy. What excites you about planned giving and philanthropy?
I think change and just amaze every single time, you know, I feel like I talk to the donors or you talk to the advisors who are involved, you learn so much and there's so much creativity. So it's, again, not about so much the planning and the gifting or the cash or the assets that we're talking about. It's the way all that comes about, because there's so many different ways to. So for example, if you're thinking about education, right, you could support, scholarships are very important in our community, right, especially the Asian American community. We want our kids to go to college, and scholarship helps open the door to the education, which opens the door to a good job and a good life. So, but sometimes supporting someone, it's not always about like funding a scholarship. We could be so creative on other ways that we could do this. It could be, you know, helping them find a job as they're going through college. It could be supporting even their family, right? And younger siblings, so that the older kids don't have to work and then they can go to college. So I think the idea of philanthropy and being really creative on how to solve issues, that's what excites me. And there's no one way, I think, to attack an issue. And as soon as you bring a group of people together, it's like magic, right? So many different ideas. And so I think that excites me, and that's so important. I'm always constantly learning from my peers.
I absolutely love that. And I think about what you said about scholarships and supporting the students. Sometimes it's good to support the family. I think about my friend, you know, his parents don't speak English. They really can't help his younger sister with homework. Here he was, a college student, helping his younger sister in high school with pre-calculus homework, because if he doesn't help her, she's not going to get the help she needs to be successful.
That's right. And you know, for a lot of immigrant families as well, or non-speaking, English-speaking families, filling out the FAFSA form, right? The financial information form in order to apply for these scholarships, it's arduous. It's difficult, right? Even for me, like when I look at this, it's really difficult to fill out. So, you know, here in San Francisco, Chinatown, one of the parents got a group of college kids together because they've already gone through it and said, can you go out and help the rest of the community learn how to fill this form out? And so they got together and they got all the parents together over 2 hours, basically step by step, and walked them through how to fill out this form. And they did it in English, Vietnamese, Chinese, Korean. It was just amazing. So not formalized, right? It all just kind of came together. And again, that's the magic, right? That happens when people want to give back and want to help.
Yes, exactly. Here, it's like the impact that it's having on these families is huge. So what causes resonate with you?
So as an immigrant, let me tell you a little bit about that background. I left on a boat from Vietnam in the middle of the night. We were the boat people, the refugees. And we stayed in Bi Dong Island, which is a refugee camp, for about 9 months before we came to the U.S. Now, if you stand on this island and you look out in the ocean, there is a ship, right? And on that ship, there's a Red Cross. And everybody knew that boat was where medicine, food, and safety, right? That's what it symbolized. And I will never forget that, especially as kids, when you look out, there's this big boat there. But when we came to the United States, these organizations, Salvation Army, Goodwill, all these nonprofit organizations helped me and helped our family really get off, right? And networked into the community. So Rita, it's just an amazing journey for me. And I know I'm not really answering your question, but I just want to give a shout out for all the nonprofits out there. They might not know, and it might be difficult to connect with impact, but for all those nonprofit workers, just know that people remember, and these organizations are wonderful and impacted my life. And so in a way for me, it's become full circle, and I would like to continue supporting them as a teacher, as a professor, helping others do that as well.
No, that's beautiful. And I get a little bit teary-eyed myself because, you know, my dad fled China. He left his hometown with a sack of rice. And in that rice, there's oranges and gold bars. And when he came to America, he landed in Wisconsin. Now, Dad will tell you it was cold as hell. I'm like, Dad, actually, yes. Hell is hot. He's like, well, you get what I mean. Didn't even have a coat. And it was Catholic Charities, Goodwill, yes. Salvation Army that bring them blankets and a coat. He mm-hmm. said that he would like have a blanket over his head and study because he had never seen snow before. So no, you definitely answered the question. I get a little bit emotional. I think about it myself, my family's journey, not even being here that long, right?
Right.
It's only like one and a half generations, because my kids are still growing. So thank you so much. If people want to learn more about the American College and the program, can you share some links or places for people to visit?
Sure. So the American College website is americancollege.edu. And you're always welcome to email me as well. You can find my email on the website. So it's dien.yuen@theamericancollege.edu. And of course, I'm on LinkedIn, so more than happy, as always, to accept any friends. So thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And do you have any parting words that you'd like to share?
See, well, thank you, Rita, for inviting me. But I would say, whether it's by impulse, whether it's very thoughtful, or whether it's a lot of planning with the family, I think always try and figure out how you can give back and share, because there's so much of you, and there's so many others in need. So just my parting words, try and be active in the community if you can.
Well, that was beautiful. And that is beautiful. Now back to you, Hope.
Thank you both. Thank you both. That's beautiful. And, you know, we just really appreciate that you're out there enhancing the philanthropic movement. And Rita, of course, always to you for bringing amazing guests onto your show. Speaking of which, Margaritas with Margarita Chang, CFP Pro, next Friday. Our guest is Lisa Morales Hellebo. Tell us a little bit about Lisa.
So Lisa is co-founder of Refashions. She is Brian's business partner, and she is going to be talking about sustainability and supply chains.
That's excellent. And Brian was our guest a couple of weeks ago, and you can check back to margaritachang.tv for that episode. So Deanne, thank you again for your time. And Rita, thank you always for being there and being so thoughtful and wonderful. So here's to Margaritas with Margarita Chang. Everybody go have a drink of something and have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you all next Friday. Bye.